We will yet quieten our hearts before the face of our Heavenly Father and God's precious Word. Hearing that portion of God's Word which is recorded in the New Testament book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Beginning with verse 5. Through verse 11, these words in Jesus' name as follows. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Amen. This portion of God's Word came to mind when I was thinking about a text here for this afternoon a few moments ago, and I remembered this portion of God's Word. We have heard many messages and words spoken here at these services and this weekend in the presentations and discussions, or presentation and discussion following. And at times it seems that God's Word has been directed almost directly at myself. Wherein it was able to warn me in such a way that I have a desire to make some changes in my life based on the necessity to care for my own faith life, and also for those in whom I am close to. God's Word is so precious in this way that I'm sure it has perhaps touched you in some ways also, and I'm sure in different ways. But the writer to the Hebrews here speaks about how God in His love for us, He deals with us as a father would a son, as we heard, and how He uses a portion of God's Word to back up His statement. Where He refers to the book of Psalms, where it is written that, "My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth." We, as people, are probably I don't know for sure, but of all God's created living beings, animals, birds, fish, or whatever, that it takes many years for a human to even be able to live alone or on their own. When we think about wildlife and nature, I've seen this year where the pheasant and ducks have had two broods, and where some years they'll even have three, where those little ones are born and in a few weeks or months they're already living on their own. But with people, we are so different in that a little baby, it takes, what is it, a year before they're able to walk. And we are unique in that we have this mind that is superior to all other animals. We're very intelligent beings compared to the animals. But regarding matters of everlasting life and choosing the direction of one's life and these type of things, we know that Jesus was often questioned about matters. And in those scribes and Pharisees and the learned people of that time, they would often try to catch Him in His speech and find some mechanism or way to find fault in that which He spoke of or said. But I remember how Jesus related to those people, and it's written in the Bible, I don't remember which gospel letter, perhaps more than one, of how which of you, by taking thought, can change your stature by one cubit? And if you cannot do even that which is least, why take ye thought for these other matters? And when we consider wisdom and knowledge, just think about this, that if you could change your height by 18 inches by thinking, that it would be for sure a very notable feat. But in God's eyes, and in, like, for our Jesus, that's nothing. The Heavenly Father created everything that we see all knowledge that man knows of. And there are many breakthroughs in knowledge, in wisdom. In recent years, through the study of knowledge, that those who are schooled, when they get to a certain level of education, they have to pick a avenue that branches off in, we could say, a remote area of knowledge, because there's so much knowledge that is already known. And this is all learning about what God has already made. He created all things, and He has allowed man to learn about His creation and about science and all the different things that are known. It is known because it is part of God's creation. And so we understand through faith that this is good knowledge to know, because we give that praise and honor to the Heavenly Father as God's children. But in the world, they see things differently, and God's Word speaks about how Paul writes to Timothy about how they will in the fourth chapter of the second letter of the Apostle Paul to Timothy, he speaks in this way in the third verse of the fourth chapter, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." So it is in the world today, in most of the larger Christian denominations in society, that those churches, they put up people and ministers who give them words that their ears are itching to hear, where they are lulled into a false sense of security. They do not hear those words of, as we heard in our read text, of how the Heavenly Father, contrary to that teaching of this world, that with His children He deals with us as a father would a son. It is in a sense of love and concern for their life. But greater than even a father to a son or a mother to a daughter or in a family situation, that the Heavenly Father, He teaches us through His Word how to live in this life so that we could make it to that eternal home in heaven. And so we receive that word of instruction, and oftentimes it is seen, as the writer here speaks, that as a form of chastisement. And if we think of this, or not think of it, but recognize it as how God's Word teaches, that verily for a few days our fathers chasten us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. And so oftentimes, even as young people, I'm sure that you have heard words of instruction from your parents, for example, where they have instructed you as to what their desire would be in that they would like you to do this or that. And you would disagree and want to do something different. At the time of that discussion, perhaps you have become angry in disagreement. Have you ever with your mother or father, and I'm sure that you would say you have. You do not necessarily understand why at that time. But so it is also in God's kingdom that we receive words of instruction that perhaps seem difficult. We do not understand. We heard in these services, for example, about Abraham when he was instructed by the Heavenly Father to take his son Isaac and sacrifice him unto the Heavenly Father, that Abraham was obedient to that instruction. The mind battles in this way against God's Word. When we think about that instruction that Abraham gave to Isaac, we would say that, why would the Heavenly Father do this? It doesn't make sense that I would kill my son. But in this case, we can see how there was a reason. It was a huge reason. It was a lesson for mankind. And the Heavenly Father showed through Abraham that promise of his son. He stopped Abraham from sacrificing his son Isaac. But he did, as we have heard in these services, he did test his faith. It was tried. But there is also that portion of instruction where the kingdom of God instructs. And there are times when in our lives that we would question that instruction. That why? And in our mind, it would perhaps seem foolish. It might even seem insignificant in that it doesn't matter. But God's Word here relates in the book of Hebrews that if we endure that, if we recognize it, and if we practice it in obedience, that there will be that time that will come where it will bear the fruits of righteousness unto whomever it is exercised upon. And so God's Word here tells us that each and every one of us, that we in this way receive correction in God's kingdom, and that we would receive it in such a way that oftentimes we would perhaps want immediate gratification and understanding. But God's Word here relates that it doesn't give a time, but it does say that now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. I was thinking this afternoon in visiting at coffee lunch about life, and we have heard even our brother relate about as we grow older, things change in our lives, and perhaps our occupation changes or we lose loved ones. And with each one of us, we experience these changes in life. But we were talking about picturing a place of solitude or a place that one can long for or see. And my mind, for some reason, turned to that, a place that is located perhaps maybe 500 miles north of here up in Canada. And I was there one day with quite a few brothers and children or younger boys with us that we were on a fishing trip. And it was on maybe a 4 or 5 day event. And we were there on Sunday. Today is Sunday. But we were not anywhere near a church. So that day was kind of set aside, we could say, as a day that we wouldn't fish. But we were water skiing and the water was warm for those type of activities. But the fishing there is very good. And it was very good at that time. And in our minds, that was what we would really like to be doing. So the discussion came to where it's Sunday and we don't fish on Sunday as believers. We know that. But then, perhaps it was me, I don't recall, but likely was that I was thinking that, you know, it's Sunday here, but, you know, Finland, it's actually Monday. Fishing, maybe it would be all okay to go fishing. And no matter how you really think about it, we know what's right and what's wrong. But this is how the enemy of souls, He gives us this. Perhaps it's our flesh. But I know that he's in agreement if we were to pursue that. But as a child of God, my thoughts have been when we choose to be obedient, that what are the penalties for being obedient? And we know that there aren't any. The Heavenly Father is not going to penalize us by not working, for example, on the Sabbath day. Even though we know that we could perhaps work and that money would be useful. that if we choose to not work because we want to honor that which the Heavenly Father has established, is He going to penalize us for not working? And we know that He won't. And then when we see through faith that everything that we have, that when we pray in the Lord's Prayer, that we pray for even our daily bread, that all of these things that we have come from the hand of the Heavenly Father, and that He is pleased when we, irregardless of what our mind says, He is pleased when we are obedient to His Word. We could also say that, well, yeah, the Ten Commandments are, they're the Ten Commandments, but then our Lord and Savior Jesus fulfilled those commandments. We're not under the law, we're under grace. And because we're not under the law, we don't need to abide by those commandments. They're for the unbeliever. And we could reason in that way and justify it, but we know that it's wrong. The Heavenly Father created us. He created us as we are. We're very complex, but we need a lot of nourishment and care. And the Heavenly Father understood the when He set aside, for example, this Sabbath day, and that it would be set aside throughout time, that He knew the need for man, that they would pause in their everyday life and gather around His Word. And this does not mean it has to be at services, but it can be the gathering of God's children, or it could perhaps even be reading the Word of God alone if you're in an isolated area, or even thinking about life, just pausing and addressing the Heavenly Father. And so, for this reason, I thought this afternoon hour that I would speak about this matter. But I also have those thoughts in conclusion that many words have been spoken here from this position that I spoke, and I'm sure if we were to analyze those, that we would find many words that perhaps should not have been spoken. And I apologize and do not want to cause offense to you, dear brothers and sisters, with any words that I have said that would cause offense. And I would ask you that, can you forgive me for all my sins? I want to believe together with you and close with you in assuring each and every one of you that you, as you find yourself here even now together with me, I want to encourage you to continue in your begun faith, believing all sins and doubts, shortcomings, misgivings, thoughts, whatever forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. Believe unto peace, freedom, and joy. This is something that we possess in God's kingdom, that no one else in this world has. This peace with God, and joy that we are acceptable to the Heavenly Father, and that we have this happiness in our hearts, that God so loved us that He provided for us a way. In that way, when the journey becomes difficult, we have heard it here many times, that encouraging words to look upon the author and finisher of our faith, to gaze upon the arisen Lord and Savior Jesus. And when times are very difficult, we can even analyze and think about his life of service for mankind and for you and me, and what He did on our behalf. In Jesus' name, amen.